Welcome to the Smart Property Investment Show with your host, Phil Tarrant.
Oh, g'day, how are you going? Welcome to the podcast. I don't know if, obviously, this is an audience of people involved in real estate, mainly investors, but as one of my many jobs here, many hats I wear, I sort of host a thing called the Secrets of the Top 100 Agents, which is from a media platform called Real Estate Business, which is about the business of property investing. So go and check it out if you're interested in this stuff. But I did a live stream today on that brand with a gentleman called Josh Begum, who's a big sales trainer. So a lot of stuff we spoke about there, if you're in the business of real estate, property, if you're an accountant that works in this area, if you're a buyer's agent, if you're a conveyancer, if you're a financial planner, anyone who is looped in this particular industry might be interested in the stuff we spoke about connecting with customers and how you can do that sort of stuff better. Go and check it out. It's at realestatebusiness.com. But I digress. I'll just sort of let you know because a lot of people are interested in some of the other property stuff we have here at Momentum Media, Smart Property Investment Show, part of the Smart Property Investment Podcast Network, which is growing rapidly. There's some new shows coming online. I hope you're enjoying it. We're really keen on the feedback coming from you about how we're approaching this. Editor at smartpropertyinvestment.com.au is where you can write to us, get you involved. We've done some good Q&A sessions recently. We want to do more of them. I've got a lineup of people that work right across property investment who are quite keen to come on and answer these questions. So send them in. You can do it through email, editor at smartpropertyinvestment.com.au or via the website, smartpropertyinvestment.com.au, where you can click a button and record a message and we'll answer them live on air. We've been getting some questions recently around the commercial part of investing, and this is a growing focus for us here at Smart Property Investment. You would have seen a lot of commentary and comment coming out of it as part of our regular news and insights that we're producing. Quick news flash, there's a new whole area within Smart Property Investment coming online around commercial. It's an area where we're going to give a lot more focus. And I think for a lot of Australians looking to build a balanced portfolio, they're starting considering some of the benefits of strengthening yields through commercial and how that can also lead to some really good capital growth. For me, it's an area I'm pretty familiar with, but I am learning myself more about it. So you're going to have to join me on this journey as I become more informed and educated around commercial lending. Fortunately, we've got some very good friends within the Smart Property Investment Podcast Network that can help us with this. One of them is Scott O'Neill. He's from Rethink Investing. I've persuaded him to come to the studio and spend some time with me, talk about commercial investing. And the way I'm going to frame this particular chat, because it's very broad, commercial investing, and we've touched on some stuff beforehand. Last time I was in the studio, November 28th, 2019, diversification through commercial and syndicate investment, which we drilled down into. It was a really, really popular podcast. Go and check it out, November 28th, 2019. Today, I really want to focus on investing in commercial property if you're a high net worth investor. So that's a cross-section of our audience. I know that you're tuning into it, so thank you and welcome. Scott, what's your title at Rethink Investing? You're director, managing director? What do you call yourself?
Director.
Director?
Plain old director.
Plain old director? Just directing stuff?
Yeah, just running the business from the inside and investing, you know, just on the front line really, which is how I
What
like
you
it.
Like to do.
Yeah.
So you're here sort of 3 or 4 months ago, so thanks for coming back. What's been happening over the sort of the last period?
Christmas happened, so the break. But yeah, it's just been a really busy start to the year. So one thing I was saying to you before, like, been running this business for about 5-6 years, and we've never seen such a groundswell of investors just ready to take action. And low interest rates have a lot to do with it. Obviously, Sydney's rebounding. That's given confidence back. People have got equity again. Even things like the share market being a bit, you know, more so down at the moment, but it is, you know, a lot of people are losing confidence in that. So we normally have a bit of a side benefit when the share market doesn't do too good, because people then want to invest in the slow moving beast that is property. So, yeah, we're just seeing it's just going to be a busy year all around for residential and commercial. And, you know, we're just here to help people invest. So, busy doing so.
Yeah. And, you know, I mentioned a little bit earlier on the live stream, the RAB Live I did, which is for the real estate sector, right, and property managers. But even they seem to be a little bit more buoyant now because they've had their heads in their hands over the last period of time, challenged getting stock, not a lot moving, heaps of buyers out there. So there is real intent for people to secure residential property at least, but they're starting to see there's, you know, it's upward movement both on volume and also sales prices. So real estate agents are a lot happier, but that's in the resi space. So this whole concept around commercial investing, particularly if you're a high net worth individual, you know, you mentioned that there's some challenges in the stock market right now, led by sentiment, led by the coronavirus, which everyone's talking about. And I'm not going to drill too much into that today. Whether or not there's going to be a V-shaped recovery in the share market is where the debate is right now, is in, you know, how quickly it's gone down, is it going to bounce back just as far? But I imagine there's going to be a flight to commercial property, probably more so than residential property, for people who are looking to get out of that asset class of, you know, equities and then into commercial real estate. Is that a fair assessment to this? Is this normally where they go?
Yeah, definitely. We've noticed, I think the lower yields in residential are also contributing to that. So the amount of people looking to go for cash flow is increasing. So, you know, cash flow is king, cash is king. It's a similar type comment. People want that month-to-month security of the income. Residential is not quite giving it unless you go very regional and buy something quite kind of a little bit sketchy. But most good quality residential is still evenly geared, even at these interest rates, or even negatively geared. So commercial is almost the only other alternative where you can get good cash flow. And we're seeing a lot of people refinancing their Melbourne and Sydney properties that they live in to then go into commercial. We've seen a lot of business owners consider buying commercial because money's cheap. We're seeing a lot of even first-time investors going, well, I don't want to wait 20 years for capital growth with residential, but I have a deposit big enough for a commercial. You know, I've got a well-paying job, and they're considering commercial as a first up. So the demand has increased so much that, you know, we actually stopped taking clients on for the last 4 weeks, and it's only in the commercial department because we found that there's not enough stock out there. Mm. So commercial, it's unfortunate for a business like myself where we, you know, find commercial properties. We can't just find thousands of these. Like, stock is always going to be our bottleneck. And with interest rates, people aren't selling often. And that means there's not much stock. So you can't just go out and buy poor quality commercial stuff, because that'll, you know, it's the first way to ruin a business. You'll get negative feedback for buying poor quality stuff. Stock is going to be the hardest thing this year. And that's going to cause capital growth in commercial, because the ones that are available to sell, there's just a larger buyer pool ready to buy them quickly. And we're seeing that buyers are almost aggressively buying commercial property. They've made the decision, they're doing it. And it feels, in the markets we're buying in, it feels like Sydney 2015-16 type frenzy buying. And that's why we've really got to do a lot more off market to get good deals. The ones that are on market, we're rushing. And when I say rush, we've still got 21 days due diligence processes and all that stuff, but it's just harder to get the price we want now. And that's probably off the back of what you just mentioned about all those other factors.
Yeah. Just to give you some sense of, I think a lot of property investors don't really appreciate or get it or even think about it, but if you look at all property available for sale, and let's split it between residential or commercial, and there's a lot of different types of commercial properties, a lot of different types of residential property, but as a percentage of all the stuff that you can buy in Australia, how much is classified as commercial?
I don't know the exact figure, but I'd say it's around 1/8 of the amount, and a lot of that is in the tens and hundreds of millions of dollars worth. Mm. So for your mum and dad investors, sub 10 million, I don't know the percentage of that. It's a good thing to look up, but it'd be very small.
It's and very then small.
Out of that, what is tenanted as well? Because there's a lot of, I guess, sales positioned for owner-occupiers. Like, you know, your warehouse, they prefer to sell it to an owner-occupier. Well, that's their first choice because the developer builds it. Rather than find a tenant, they'll sell it direct to an owner. So, yeah, it's a very small market. To sort of give you real numbers, what we say, you know, we're probably seeing about 10 properties per week worth buying listed on the internet Australia-wide with
10,
a tenant.
10 properties per week.
Under $2 million specifically. Okay. So those 10 properties, half might be going to an auction, or like, these are tiny numbers. And the criteria to sort of quantify those numbers more is, like, you know, we're looking at minimum 6.5 net yields, capital city. You know, we're not going out into the small regional centers just to buy a yield to a, you know, an old department store or a lease that's about to expire. So there's very small markets we're playing in. And that's why we're in a niche business. Mm. There's just not much room for, I guess, buying large quantities of this stuff. But that's why I like it. It's really contact-based. You know, we get the majority of our deals from agents we've done 20-plus deals with. It's a repeat relationship-based thing. We do residential as well, but you're just looking at thousands of different markets. It's easier to compete. You've got more time. There's more agents to talk to. But yeah, it's a very small little niche market, and that's where it can get hard for someone who's never invested in commercial to jump into, because you've got to, number one, decide if you want to invest in retail, industrial, or office space. Once you work out what space you want to go in, you've got to learn a hell of a lot about it. You know, what types of retail are suffering? What types of industrial have supply issues? Or where's the tightest markets? Where the vacancy rates are the tightest? And then you've got to go in there and try to get the right tenant at the right yield without paying too much for it. And then you've got to research into the square meter rates to make sure the rents aren't inflated. You've got to keep drilling down and down and down. So it's a hard place to start. And that's the very reason why most investors start and finish in residential. But if you do cross the bridge into this space, it is more profitable, in my opinion, because you're up against less investors. And I think there's just more opportunity to actually retire from this stuff because, you know, the cash flow you get from it, you know, an example I was using, you know, when we bought this week at a small price point, it was a $500,000 purchase. It was renting for $38,000 a year. Once you take your mortgage out of it, that was returning the client, that was an 80% mortgage, returning the client $520 a week net after all cost, after mortgage, for a 500 grand purchase.
So it's not bad.
Have a few of them in your portfolio, you don't have to work.
You're sitting on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And buying a house, yeah, you know, you're going to be breaking even if you're lucky.
So we spoke when we got together 28th of November 2019, diversification through commercial syndicate investing, where we spoke a lot about the reasons why you should consider commercial as part of a diversified portfolio. And we also spoke about syndicate investing, and that's where you do it in lockstep with other people, which might put you in different price points. So go back and listen to that. There's some really good stuff in there, and we wrote that up on smartbrainvestment.com.au. But I want to have a chat, Scott, around the specifics of being a high net wealth investor, investing in commercial versus someone who's starting out. But we'll go to a break beforehand. Back in a moment.
The Trident Formula, created by Sam Gordon at Australian Property Scout, is the strategic way to build a profitable property portfolio. If you're looking to perfect your strategy, go to www.australianpropertyscout.com.au to book a call with Sam himself.
Welcome back, everyone. Here with Scott O'Neill, Director of Rethink Investing. We're chatting commercial investing, in particular, the opportunities for high net worth individuals. Is it high net worth individuals, or is it investing in more expensive commercial properties, but you probably need to be a high net worth individuals in order to do that? Horse for courses, obviously, but, you know, what do you sort of define as a high net worth individual that invests in commercial properties?
Well, a wholesale investor, which is probably how you'd class it, is defined as someone who's earned 250 grand income over the last 2 years, each year, or they're investing with 500 grand cash, or they've got 2.5 mil net assets. So
okay.
I base that as a high net worth. So, you know, in terms of purchasing commercial property, that's, I'd say, an over 1.5 mil purchase. And, you know, that's my definition of it. You know, obviously, if you're talking to a hedge fund manager, they've got a different definition of it as well. But the assets you get in that price point, you know, they're substantial. They've got good long leases. You might have multiple income type assets. The investor's using $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, maybe even $1 million of cash sometimes and then leveraging the rest. So they are big purchases for the everyday person. And a lot of those investors haven't even invested in commercial property before, and they're, you know, they're leveraging from a maybe a Sydney property that's grown in value over the last 10 years. So, you know, more people than you think are in this space, and they tend to, you know, look for security and upside, and also they want that good yield. And that's why they don't do what many other investors do and try to buy 20 different properties if they could do that, but they do it in one big hit. And you know, this is sort of what we're talking about today, those types of people.
And what's the trigger point for people like that? And, you know, some of the numbers you use, they earn 250 grand in income for a couple of years. They've got, what, investing with more than 500 grand cash and
2.5 million net assets.
So they've made their money elsewhere in many ways, and they've got the ability to continue to manufacture wealth because they're earning good income, right? That's typically the person. There's a few of them out there. You know, because we said there's commercial property is not as prevalent as resi property, and we're talking about high price points. Well, what percentage of commercial deals would be within that realm?
Personally, the clients I deal with, I'd say one in three at the moment. So it's, you know, you don't meet these people through, I guess, online marketing. They're normally just referred, or, you know, maybe you've dealt with someone in the family and they've referred their uncle. Like, it's just referral based. So my business is very referral based because we're dealing with high risk, you know, high stakes, you know, large value type purchasing. And, you know, it takes a lot of trust. And the only way to build that trust is from previous results through personal experience. So that's sort of how we deal with these people. And the types of assets that we find them, that's what gets me out of bed in the morning each day to go to work. I love investing in this stuff. Even the negotiations, like, we've been negotiating on properties over 6 months at a time. Like, some of them can be drawn out. Some of them you need to act within the week. But there's always a story, and there's multiple ways of negotiating. So, you know, you might be able to manipulate the leases to make the deal more attractive. You might be able to just take the price off through better terms. They might need to get their money out a little bit quicker for another reason. So, you know, these things we can use. And because it's a high value asset, we're not talking about a 10, 20 grand benefit. Sometimes you can make hundreds of thousands of dollars through, you know, just careful negotiations over, you know, a period of time.
Say a resi property that you make your money when you buy, right? So you buy effectively. Same applies to commercial, or is it?
Yeah. Well, you can lose your money quicker with commercial. Like, so commercial, when you get it right, you're going to do very well. And the thing that I see investors can get it wrong with, if they like pay too much for a current tenant. So let's say, and I'm not using this as an example, but let's say you buy a childcare where it's a specialist type property and that childcare operator starts going broke or their occupancy rate drops and all of a sudden that tenant needs to leave. Instantly, you've got effectively an overpriced house with no kids in it and no business. Mm. That would instantly make you lose a lot of money. The types of properties that I'll go out and find will be easy relet, have multiple uses, maybe multiple tenants. So the chances to make money out of that are much quicker because we're not paying a premium for a current tenant. So to answer your question, yes, you make money on the buy-in. Right now, everyone's getting a free punt with commercial at the moment because of these interest rate drops and the extra demand coming through the window. Commercial property is growing very quick, and it's growing because yields are compressing. And what that means is last year an 8% net yielding property would be happily bought by someone today at 7.5 net. So the rents haven't grown, but the price has, and they're paying more for the same rent. So that's meaning we're seeing greater growth rates happening, and this year is going to be that even more so. So there's an interest rate cut yesterday, that's going to squeeze the commercial market, especially because the banks, the majority of them passed all of it on. So that makes your cash flow look even better, which inclines buyers to go, you should pay more for this because it's still a good cash flow. It works. The numbers stack up in every way. And the threat of an increased interest rate is quite low, it seems, at the moment. Seems like we're in for a low interest rate period for quite a while. Well, that's how investors are factoring it in. And that's making people more confident for this. So asset values will grow in this department too.
Are people compromising yields now because of cheaper interest rates and this perception of, you know, oh, that's okay now because money's cheaper to get, so I can deal with that, you know, and that therefore it's attracting more people in the market, therefore overinflating prices unnecessarily? Is that the dynamic?
I think residential, yes. It's probably market dependent though. I think Sydney and Melbourne for commercial is a little bit overcooked in terms of the rent's already at high values, so it's quite unaffordable for many tenants, particularly in retail. Retail's been slow, but rents have been increasing at 3 or 4% for the last 30 years. So it's hard for them to keep up with the same rent, yet investors are still buying these properties. Like they sold a Guzman and Gomez at Bondi Junction at a sub 4% net yield. Mm. To me, that's too much money for property.
But everyone likes Mexican food though.
Yeah. You know? Would you pay $6 million for one though?
Oh God. Is that what it was? $6 million for how many square meters?
Oh, I don't know the exact.
It's small, right?
Yeah. And it had a little
50 if you're lucky. Yeah.
But it had a little house above it, like a unit above it too, okay. But still $6 million, okay. Solid.
So this sort of takes me to the thought I had around diversification. Now, we talk a lot about this on smartpropertyinvestment.com, the diversification in residential property, and that can mean a whole bunch of different things. It can be buying, you know, capital growth assets versus yield assets. It can be houses versus units. It can be regional versus metropolitan. It can be New South Wales versus whatever, right? Does the same logic and concept is consistent in commercial lending, i.e., like what are the diversification choices you have? And we're talking from the point of a high net worth investor, and that might be an office tower, right? You know, but how important is diversification in commercial versus chasing yield and the certainty of yield, hopefully with some upside in commercial growth?
Yeah, very important. I never just get totally yield focused. And that's the initial thing that most novice investors do in commercial. They just look at pure yield and that's all they want. And they'll make a bad decision just because the yield is a little bit better than another property they've seen. One thing I've learned over the years buying commercial property is it's more important to get a quality yield because then you've got more upside for growth. So a quality yield might be a 6.5 net yielding property in CBD Brisbane. Mm. You've got a lot of demand. You know, you've got to look into the supply drivers to make sure they're not building a lot more of that stock. But you might have a five-year lease in place, but it's growing at 4% per annum. So as that rent grows at 4%, you're effectively creating 4% equity each time that grows. So in, you know, 5 years' time, you're sitting on a fair bit of equity. You might actually find that the market's squeezed even further because rents are at a lower point. So you might find if you lose that tenant, there's another tenant 3 months away. So those relettability type questions are more important than just going for a 9% regional property, which if that went vacant, you might have 12 months or 2 years vacant if it's in the wrong area. So I'm all about quality yield with growth upside. And that's the main thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we come back from this break, I want to have a chat about how you can deal with a lemon property in commercial and just some other key points I think high net worth individuals need to be considering when investing in commercial property. Back in a moment.
Propertyology regards right now as a very exciting time for investing in Australian real estate. There are some fantastic opportunities that Propertyology can help you take advantage of before buyers re-emerge from their coronavirus cocoons. Propertyology has a national focus. Now more than ever, experience and knowledge are the most valuable currency. Propertyology has that in spades. To find out how Propertyology's multi-award-winning buyers agents can help you prosper, contact them now at propertyology.com.au.
G'day, welcome back to the Smart Property Investment Show, part of the Smart Property Investment Podcast Network. I hope you're enjoying the show. We really love delivering it. And remember, quick favor, please, sorry to interrupt this particular podcast, but if you can keep those reviews coming on iTunes, wherever you're listening to this particular podcast, as I've said many, many times, it's just not me sitting here behind the microphone. There's a big team of really capable professional broadcasters here who are the engine room of this particular podcast, which continues to grow. So they get a real kick out of seeing those reviews coming through. If they're five stars, great. That's the ones we love. And leave a bit of feedback there as well. We're going to do a lot more of this commercial stuff moving forward to ensure that we can give our community of property investors all the information they need to be more informed about investment decisions. And commercial might work for a lot of you. Hopefully, we're giving some info around it. And this is in specific to high net worth investors. Scott, if you look at the stats, right, most property investors don't even buy one property, right? And by and large, it's a residential property. I'm sure there's some commercial in there. A couple more get to two, but that's pretty much where the majority of people stop. And one of the reasons why people only ever, or the majority of Australian investors only ever get between one or two properties is because they buy the wrong property, right? And it's pretty hard to unravel, to pardon my French, a shit property, right? A shit property is a shit property. You can tart it up a bit and maybe make it look a bit better, but you know, if it's not good, it's probably always going to be not good for whatever reason. So for the fundamentals, they're not there for when you're buying. So that's where people most get stuck. The same logic in commercial investing. How hard is it to unravel a bad purchase in commercial?
Yeah, it can be quite difficult because if you overpay for a property that's got inflated rent, you've paid too much for it. So there's no real easy way out of that other than just time. And if you buy into a market that is flat, so let's say you buy into a small regional town. I saw in A Current Affair, first time I watched that in years.
I reckon you watch it every night.
They were talking about banks.
Oh, yeah.
And there was an ANZ bank in Kilcroy. And I actually remember seeing this property 3 years ago for sale. And they wanted a 10% net return on it. Had 2 years left on the lease. And that's the last bank in that town. It's closed. And they were saying the owner is got another vacant unit that was vacant for a year. This bank is now closed. I don't know what they're going to do with that. It's just going to be a matter of hopefully getting a tenant and he'll immediately sell. But that's why I don't buy into small towns like that, because if you do lose a tenant, there's no way out. I don't think that's easy. If you buy into an area where you're confident in 10 years' time, it's going to be a better area than it currently is, e.g. urban growth or, you know, population growth, maybe incomes are rising, maybe there's developments happening around, then the relettability of that property is going to increase over time. So if you lost your tenant, you're probably going to get a better tenant at more rent. So it's just like residential. You've got to buy into an area that you know is improving. If you're going out to a tiny town where it's declining, you know, it's the same as residential. Commercial is no different. It's going to hurt you if you buy in the wrong market and the wrong type of property. So that's where, like, you just got to be careful. And that, you know, an expert can help you pick the right type of asset. You know, pick things like medical related, storage related, you know, multi-use type tenants. You just need a few options to consider. If you're buying a property that has one use and it can never be used as anything else and you lose that specific tenant, that's going to be riskier. So,
and that's a diversification play, right? And going towards diversification, retail, commercial, or industrial is sort of the top line ways you can segment out this market. What do you like buying? What's good? So you're saying the whole where to buy is stay away from small regional towns with very little diversity, probably in their economy and all this sort of stuff, right? Which is consistent with Resi. You know, there's a lot of clues there you can take from the regional market about where to buy, you know, job growth, you know, infrastructure growth, economic growth, all the usual stuff, right? That's stuff to hunt down. What do you buy? What do you like? Do you prefer shops? Do you prefer a bit of office space? Do you like a hybrid, industrial zones, you know, a woodshed out the back, whatever it is?
So it's different at different price ranges. So to loop it back into the high net worth price range, so let's say we're looking at a properties over 1.5 mil. My favorite things at the moment are multi-tenant industrial space because you've got more businesses going online. That's pulling retail. It's hurting retail, but where do these online businesses operate out of? Normally a mezzanine with a warehouse. Mm. So next day delivery storage is important. There's multiple tenants in those. You know, you can buy in a capital city, you know, 2, 3, 4 million, and you can have 10 tenants in that price range. So they might be all on staggered 3-year leases.
Mm.
That is what I view as something I'd like to hold because the risk of losing all your tenants at once are very low. You're buying into a growing market. So industrial is a growth market at the moment. You know, Amazon and all the related businesses around that are a perfect example about what a growing business looks like in that space. And I think that's one department that's very popular. 2, 3 years ago, it wasn't so much because industrial is hard to relate to for your everyday office worker. You know, people see retail and go, oh, I shop there, I can understand it. So, you know, my background's engineering. I used to work in industrial areas a bit, so I related to it a bit quicker than many. So one of my jobs is to help educate people about the different types of industrial spaces. There's a lot of upside you can consider. You know, you might be able to build a mezzanine to create extra floor space. You might have a 3,000 square meter site with a 800 square meter shed on it. So there's room for more because the, you know, there's unused land there. So tilt up slabs are quite easy to build.
What? A tilt-up slab.
Tilt-up.
You sound like an engineer. What's that?
So you're basically shipping in a big lump of concrete, tilting it up, putting a roof on it, bolting it together.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay. So you're talking about the wall.
Precast.
Yeah, okay, precast. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, got so it. They're tilt-up. I got it. Great.
Yeah. So they tilt it up and it's like a little Lego house and then they...
Okay, I didn't know it was called that, but I know the system. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those things are quite good to create more lettable space. So one of the great things about buying in those higher price points is you're not just buying like a vanilla type deal that has no upside. You are going to get upside if you buy well. You know, unused land, you know, you might have a large tenancy that's under rented by 20%. So all you need to do, easier said than done, is to get the rent higher than, you know, up 20% to meet the market. And that might take you 5 years to do, but you've created 20% equity once you've done that. And increasing the length of leases, like, again, I like multiple tenants because you might buy, you know, 5 warehouses in a row and 3 of them are on month-to-month leases. And all we need to do to create some equity is to get them on 3 or 5 year leases. And if you go to the bank 12 months later and show the improvement you've made to the site, which is improving the lease strength, they'll probably do you some favors in the evaluation.
So it's consistent with residential property in that you can look to how you manufacture greater equity or manufacture greater cash flow with any asset. And what you're talking about is using unused land more effectively with a tilled up slab construction, you know, which means you get more rent. You know? So the overall debt position will probably stay reasonably stable if you don't spend too much on the bill, but you get the uplift on the rent, which greater value for the property means it's more attractive to sell should you want to do that. Or if you want to go back to the bank and refinance it, they're going to be happy to give you more money. So the same logic, it's just different.
And one of my other like high net worth or an individual client of mine, he loves solar panel and he's in it. He's a techie type guy and he's got great connections in that space. So he's gone and bought shopping centers. And then what you do is you put all your, because they've got huge roof areas.
Mm.
So you put the solar farms.
Yeah.
And then you can reduce the outgoings. And if they're all on gross leases, you're the one actually paying those outgoings. So you saving 20, 30 grand outgoings, you're saving from power saving bills. Mm. So that's an outgoing that has all of a sudden vanished off your property because you've created, you've got bigger depreciation benefits as well. So if you wanted to go back and sell it on the market, you've got a better yield on it because you've decreased the outgoings and there's more asset depreciation, which means a better post-tax result for whoever buys it. So these things will increase the value. And, you know, shopping centers are another great example of something I still like because not all retail is equal. You know, if you're buying a you know, a luxury dress store in, you know, Double Bay where rents are sky high and there's very little upside there. That's what I see as risky. But if you're buying, like, you might have your supermarket with a dentist next door, a hairdresser, you know, there might be a nice profitable cafe. Like, there's a lot of
like stuff you can't online shop for.
Yeah, you've got to go there.
You've got to go there.
Yep. Destination type tenants, still are valuable.
So I get that around the type of stuff that you should be buying, and to your point around this whole industrial space and being able to buy like groupings of industrial side by side. And if you just drive out, we're in Sydney here recording this, drive out west or southwest, you can see 1,000 of these things, right? They still exist. Now, this is probably the most important question of the whole podcast. How important is it when you're buying in industrial areas, whether it's a single or multi thing, that there's a whole bunch of other ones around it, as in it's a grouping of it? And even more important, that there's a cafe there selling a ropey old meat pie, or, you know, you're on the route of the roach coach coming through to sell stuff to the punters there working, like, you know, in jest, but the infrastructure connected around industrial tenants, you know, transport, rail links, road links, other amenities that people can use at lunchtime. That's all pretty important stuff, right?
Oh, it's the catchment area. Yeah. So if you've got a good highway, you don't need to be in the CBD. It's industrial. Mm. It's got, you know, you wouldn't want to be in the CBD. It's too slow to get around. But, you know, your satellite areas where it's got nice, you know, highways, you know, you might be close to the airport. I love warehouses near airports just because I feel like that's just a safety net that's always going to be there. Similar to, you know, a school next to a retail shopping center. I love retail near schools because twice a day, they got a lot of customers permanently, you know, it's locked in. So, you know, area is important. You've got to look at free land. You don't want too much land around. If you are buying where there's a lot of spare land, you want to buy below replacement cost. So we've spotted multiple spots around the country where you can buy existing properties much cheaper than it is to buy land and then build. So sometimes it can be 20% cheaper. So that tells me I need that market to grow 20% before a competitor can create more supply. So it's almost like a free insight to future growth there. So replacement cost is important to look at when you're buying commercial property and residential as well, because you never want to buy above that if you can. And, you know, it's just about buying in areas where they're just not going to build too much. And then you've got to understand the tenants market around it. And that's the real key to it.
It's a lot more tight to held commercial. And I'm talking mainly around industrial property where most councils will have a zone for industrial, but they're not out there approving new lots of industrial developments, right? They're pretty tight on that stuff. So the scarcity is pretty important, right?
Yeah. Like, look at Gold Coast. There's probably a handful of main industrial pockets around, you know, and then it's trapped by the mountains and the waterways, and the rest is just residential zoning. So you find the industrial lots there, they're not just expanding, you know, they are in certain areas, they're building new ones, but it's more on the outskirts. But the inner city ones, they're just tightly held and they're not building more of it in there. They, if anything, subdividing and making smaller ones, but larger warehouses are just as valuable because certain tenants really need that size.
And you're not buying in Sydney, Melbourne at the moment, or there's still some good assets there? Like, you know, I'm sure everyone's going, this all sounds really good, Phil. Can you get some actual real information out of Scott about where they should be investing right now, where they like?
Look, I personally are not for my clients. And the reason is because I get to see all over the country, like we're licensed to buy in all the different states. And I see the square meter rate for tenants. And you think about it from a tenant's point of view. Is it affordable for them to rent this place? And I'm finding in Sydney, it's just the rents are just so much higher than what they probably should be, because investors have pushed it up to a point where it's not affordable for the tenants. And when you're buying yields of 4% for the investor, the value is not there for the investor or the tenant. Melbourne's even worse. Like, I've seen yields sub 2% for properties that aren't that spectacular. And you think, you know, who would want to cop a 2% yield when you can go up to another area and get a 7 or 8 in just because it's a different city? So, you know, that's where it can be overcooked. When yields start compressing to a point where it's only, you know, when it's below the interest rate that you're getting, you know, I like to have a margin of at least 2%. So if the interest rate is 4%, you want to get a minimum 6% yield. But if we can squeeze that out to 3 or 4% difference, like we are now, that's where the value is. And, you know, we're seeing interest rates, you know, low 3% for commercial loans, and we're buying yields, you know, properties with yields upwards of 7.5. So the gap is huge. So that's growth.
So the conclusion is that if you're able to start considering, and we're talking about high net worth individuals here, but probably consistent with everyone, if you can afford to start looking at commercial property and make sense in terms of portfolio construction for you, consider an interest rate environment and the dynamics in positive pressure on commercial properties, it's a good time to consider it.
Definitely. And look, a lot of people have equity in their house, and you might go out and buy, you know, a large portion of these higher net worths. They're just pulling money out of a house. So you've got to look at 100% debt levels when they do that. But when you're getting interest rates this low and you can lock in a, you know, a loan of 25 to 30 years for a commercial property, and then you're getting these yields that are so high that the actual income off the property will pay the debt off your commercial property, and it's between 10 to 14 years, depending on the yield we're looking at. So let's say worst case, in 14 years, you've got a debt-free multi-million dollar property just because someone took out $600,000-$700,000 of equity out of a house. You know, that is an absolute game changer for them. And the debt is what people will see as risky, but the debt's not going to stay there forever unless you're spending every single cent of that income, which the majority of my clients don't. It's a means to an end to then get them to a point where they've got lower debt levels, and then it just de-risks it all.
Well, thanks for coming in, Scott. I've enjoyed the chat. I feel a lot more educated, you know, around this. Every time I catch up with you, I start obviously thinking about commercial in my own portfolio, the smart property investment portfolio. So maybe we should have a chat about that, because it'd be good to benefit from some of these dynamics that you spelled out, whether or not we'd fit into the high net worth sector of that, I don't know. But yeah, by and large, it sounds pretty good. So thanks for coming in. How do people find out more about you guys? Investing in commercial property?
Best just to go to our website, rethinkinvesting.com.au, and we offer a free 30-minute strategy session. So, you know, we can tell you if you are in the game or not to look at commercial, and we'll happily recommend you, you know, not to, but create a plan to get into investing into commercial later if the time's not right. So, yeah, it's all about just thinking about different options down the track.
Brilliant. I think that's sage counsel. We'll keep concentrating on this. As I mentioned, we're launching a whole new commercial part of Smart Property Investment. So watch this space. As soon as it's up and live and ready to roll, you'll be the first to know. We're going to make a big song and dance out of it, and we're pretty pumped about it all. So I think it's important, given, you know, where we are in the current economic climate, where the world's heading, and the ability for investors to create long-term wealth in property markets, whether it's resi or commercial. We want to be part of that story and helping you be more informed about it. I hope you enjoyed that. Remember, we last spoke to Scott 28th of November 2019. Go and listen to that. That was around diversification through commercial and syndicate investing. Really good stuff. I know we've concentrated mainly on high net worth individuals, and what that's really done is just got us chatting about a particular type of asset that is accessible to these type of investors. So, but a lot of the theories and philosophies that we've spoken about today are relevant across all commercial lending. So hope you enjoyed it. Keep checking out smartpropertyinvestment.com.au. We're doing heaps of stuff around this. If social media is your game and it's how you like to be informed and keep connected with what's going on, you can follow us at Smart Property HQ. Remember, smartpropertyinvestment.com.au/subscribe is where you can subscribe to our daily morning newsletter so you're first to know what's happening in property markets right across Australia. We'll be back again next time. Until then, bye-bye.
The information featured in this podcast is general in nature and does not take into consideration your financial situation or individual needs, and should not be relied upon. Before making any investment, insurance, tax, property or financial planning decision, you should consult a licensed professional who can advise whether your decision is appropriate for you. Guests appearing on this podcast may have a commercial relationship with the companies mentioned.
The Trident Formula, created by Sam Gordon at Australian Property Scout, is the strategic way to build a profitable property portfolio. If you're looking to perfect your strategy, go to www.australianpropertyscout.com.au to book a call with Sam himself.